Okay, we're picking up the Gemara, three lines from the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. We are in the middle of a discussion about when you're supposed to recite the Megillah in the when there's like this year, like we have a leap year this year. So do you read it in the first Adar and the second Adar? So we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Yossi and that of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Yossi holds you read it in the first Adar, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds you read it in the second. So the Gemara questions this out. And where's Bishlam Rabbi Eliezer of Rabbi Yossi? Now I understand Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Yossi explains that you should read it in the first Adar because he has a concept in Rav Rinal Mitzvah. The concept we use many times in Shas, that the principle is, you don't even need a pasuk to teach you that when you have the first mitzvah, the first mitzvah comes your way, we don't pass over an opportunity to do the mitzvah, and therefore you should read the Megillah at the first opportunity you have, which is the first Adar. So the Gemara says, so that makes sense. That's a logical reason. But according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what's his reasoning for explaining that you don't have to read it in the first Adar, rather you read it in the second Adar? Rabbi Tavi, time Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because of the concept of mismach ula lagula, the concept that we said above, that the fact you're supposed to have the month of Purim, which is the geula of Purim, connected to the month of Pesach. There's a lot of deeper inyanim about what the deeper kavanas of this concept. But either way, just a pasuk pshat level, is that means that a person is supposed to have Purim be juxtaposed and next to Pesach. So too, we want to make sure that should be in the second other. If you read in the first other, you have a second other before then, and that would be a problem. The Gemara now says, Rabbi Lezer, Amar, Taimed de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mehacha. No, the reason Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is from the pasuk which says, Dichsiv Lekayim Esigeres HaPurim Azos Hashinis. The pasuk says that in Esther, the pasuk says that Batichtov Esther Malka Basavichal Mardach Yudi is called Tokaf Lekayim Esigeres HaPurim Azos Hashinis. They should keep the second to confirm the second letter of Purim. So what is this second letter? What do you mean the second letter? Igeres Azos, the second letter of Purim. So therefore, we're explaining that second letter means that second implies that it refers to a second month, meaning when you have two Adars, you should read it in the second month of Adar. And now the Gemara explains, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why do I need to have both psukim? V'itzuch l'michtav, turning to the next number now, Zayin Maralaf, Hashinis. That it has to say the word of the second. V'itzuch l'michtav, b'chol shana v'shana. It's also necessary to write in every year. Both expressions are needed to teach you that Purim is going to be in the Adar She'ini, in the second Adar, because the imi, b'chol shana v'shana, because if you only teach the word each and every year, have Yamina Kikushin. I would have thought the kasha that we quoted on Vav Amud Beis that it could be interpreted to mean that Purim should be done in the first Adar, just like every year it's after Shvat. So too this year should be after Shvat. So therefore, I need to teach you. If it just said Shana Vashana, I would have thought maybe you should do it in the first Adar like you do every year. So therefore, have Yamina Kikushin. Kamash Milan Hashini. So therefore, the learner of Hashini is teaching you. No, it's Dafka done in the second Adar. So then, why don't you just teach me the Hashini and not mention Kol Shana Vashana? Because Yeshman Hashini is because if you only tell me the lashon of that should be done in the second Adar, have Amina Batchila Barishon Uvashini. You better have thought that in a normal year you should do it on a leap year you should do it in the first and the second Adars. So therefore, Kamash Milan Bechol Shana Vashana. Therefore, the pasuk is teaching you that it should be each and every year in the same year, meaning that in a leap year you only do Purim like you did the year before only once, and therefore it should be done only once in a leap year as well, which is what we do. We read it in the second Adar. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi Hayashenis Mavilei. So now Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi, that's a good drasha that we have from Shimon Gamliel. What's Rabbi Elazar bar Yossi going to do with this drasha? He learns it out from Veilech Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. He learns out a different limud from the psukim in the Megillah itself. Damar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. But Chilak Havu B'Shushan. Originally, they established Purim as a chag and a celebration in the city of Shushan. And afterwards, Vasol Kolam Kulo. Then everyone else accepted it also. And then throughout the entire world, everybody accepted Purim as well. Now the Gemara continues. Amar of Shmuel bar Yehuda shalchalam Esther lachachamim. Esther at a request of the chachamim in the second year, Rashi says, the year following the miracle, she asked kavuna l'doros that you should establish not just the year right now of celebrating the miracle, but it should be a chag. It should be a full fledged festival every single year with the reading Megillah and different mitzvot. Shalchula kinasat meres aleinu levina umas. They're going to read about the miracle of the Megillah, how we killed 75,000 people, all the people that we killed in different areas of Achashver's kingdom, and people are going to, the goyim are going to be angry at us. So she responded, Shalchalam, she sent back to them, Kfar Kasvoni, Divrei Yamel, Malchai Madaya Paras. It's actually quoted in the Pesukim of Megillah, it says that way. So therefore, the nations of the world to have records anyway of what's happening. So to say that they're going to just look at this and now say, oh look, the Jews are killing people in our nations, they could figure that out anyway from there. So that's not a reason not to have the mitzvah of and the chag that I want to create of Purim. Now the Gemara says another exchange that the Esther had with the Chachamim, Rav Chanina, Rav Huda, Rav Chanina Masnu. Rav Chanina Bar Yochanan and Rav Chaviva, they all taught the following with regards to this thing about Esther, this back and forth to Esther. And then just Gemara just parenthetically points out, Bekula Seder Moed Kula Zuga, that whenever you learn Seder Moed, meaning Lechel Shabbos, Me'irvin, all this, what we've been learning until now from Mesechta Shabbos, all of those Mesechtas, Psachim, everything, all of these Amorot are mentioned together, Chalufe Rabbi Yochanan Ma'al Rabbi Yonasan. Some had the Girsa that you should take out Rabbi Yochanan, rather it was Rabbi Yonasan who was sitting with them. Okay, either way, who it was, this great group of Amoraim, first generation Amoraim, so they would teach the following also. Shalchulam Esther Lachachamim. Esther had a request of the Chachamim, Kesunile Doros, you should write the miracle, put him down, and write it for generations. So she wanted that the book of Esther should be in Tanakh. We know there was a canonization of Tanakh, Chav Dal Sifrei Tanakh. So Esther wanted to be included in that. So first, apparently, the Tur Evan points this out. But first, apparently, she had one shlichus that she sent out that she wanted that to be a chag, that it should be a festive nature and it should be a happy day. And apparently, that they accepted. And then she wanted to make the Megillah a formal takana as part of that day to incorporate them and should be one of the Chav Dal Sifrei Tanakh. So the Gemara says, but we have a remez that the psukim in Mishlei, they tell us that we have a Masorah that Mishlei is talking about, that the pasuk in the psukim in Mishlei telling us that it should only be three times that the concept of Amalek is mentioned. So the Gemara says, the Gemara continues now, the Shlishim Velorbim, it should be three times and not four times. So what does this mean? So Rashi says that it's three different times we mentioned Milchamas Amalek. We have it in Shmos, right, in Sefer Shmos, and then we have it in Devarim, Sefer Devarim, and also in Shmuel, and therefore we learn out that it can only be mentioned three times, and now we have a Masorah not to mention it four times. So you're adding to the times. So the Gemara says, Ashematzel Mikra Kasav Atayra, so they found the Pasuk of the Torah, which says, Kasav Zos Zikar B'Sefer, that you should write in the Pasuk in Sefer Shmos, when it says, V'yomar Shem Moshe, Kasav Zos Zikar B'Sefer, V'sim V'z Neishu, Kimamcha, and Zikar Malik, Mitachas Shemaim. The Pasuk says, what is Kasav Zos? Kasav Zos, Mashikasuv Khan of Mishnah Torah, that it should mention Zos in reference to Rashi's the Kol Mashikasuv Torah, that's called considered one for this purpose. So therefore, the fact that it's mentioned in Shmos and Dvarim is not going to be counted two different times. So that's all considered one time. So really what comes out is that we only have it one time mentioned here and one time in Shmuel. Lechora, there's another Masorah that you should have a third time mentioning of Amalek. And we know the whole Haman was from Amalek. It's about Mechias Amalek, is Purim as well. It's about getting rid of Amalek. So this is the third one that is mentioned over here. Zikaron, Mashikasav, and Nevi'im. And Zikaron is what's mentioned in Megillah. And then Besefer must be another Sefer, Mashikasav, Megillah. And they found out that therefore there's an interpretation that they could use, Megillah Sester and use it as a formal, Sefer in Tanakh. The Gemara says, Kitanai, that this explanation actually is a Machlokas Tanaim. Ksav Zois Mashikasav Khan. Right, this is a reference to Amalek, that's a reference to what's over here. Zikar Mashikasav Mishnah Torah, Basifer Mashikasav and Nevi'im Devar B'Yeshua. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, there is no source for having Megillah in the Chav Dal Sifrei Tanakh. Rabbi Lezra Modai Omer, Kasav Zois Mashikasav Khan of Mishnah Torah. No, that Ksav Zois is going on both. This, which is written in Sefer Shmos and in Sefer Devarim, and therefore Zikaron is going to be on Nevi'im, and then the third one, Basefer, is able to be an open Joshua for Mashikas Megillah, that what is written in the Megillah. So according to this version, now we have an explanation where that you can say that Megillah, it has a source in it to be one of the themes of one of the Sefer Tanakh. Now the Gemara continues on this. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Esther Eina Matame Sinayim. Shmuel held that the scroll of Esther is not Matame the Adayim. So we learned in Masechta Shabbos that one of the Gzeros that was enacted in the Yotchas Gzeros was that all of the Sifrei Tanakh are going to Metame Seyadayim. What was the reason for this? It's because people used to put Truma together with the Svarim that they had, because they would say, this is Kadosh and this is Kadosh, they don't want anything to happen. They should know that it's Kadosh, should be listening to touch it Betuma. The problem is that people are putting Truma in an area, they're putting food. And what happens when you have food anywhere, open food exposed, the animals are going to come. So all the animals, mice, whatever, are coming and chewing away at the food. And they were also then coming and also eating at the Sifrei Tanakh. So they wanted to make a Gzera that food is going to be metame, the Sifrei Tanakh are going to metame seyadayim. They did that in order that you shouldn't put it next to the truma, because then it's metame the truma, and then you can't have it together. So only the Sfarim of Tanakh are going to be included in that. So Shmuel is telling us that Esther is not included in the one that is going to be metame the adayim, and you would not have to assume it's one of the Chav Dal Sifrei Tanakh for this purpose. So Gemara says, Lameimah, the Savar Shmuel, Esther, Labaruch, Kodesh, Emra. So that's implication, is that Esther was not written in Ruach HaKodesh, and literally in the spirit of Nevuah, in divine spirit, literally. Esther Baruch HaKodesh, but Shmuel himself told us that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh, with this Nevuah, and therefore should be Lechora part of the Chaftal Tzifte Tanach. So my answer is Nemra Likros, that Esther was for, it had the concept of a Ruach HaKodesh for the purpose of reading, but it was not composed or written down in order to be included in the Chaftal Sefer Tanakh, according to this. So therefore, it's not to be written down. Rather, Rashi understands it to be, its ikar is to be taught verbally. And that's going to be, so Tosafot asks, Akash, what do you mean taught verbally? How could that be? That's against the Beferish Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah, which told us that part, that if you're Likros Megillah Al Peh, then you are not Yotze. So therefore, Tosus wants to learn that really maybe he means that Ruach HaKodesh was not to be written down, and therefore it's only Takana Derabanan to read it from a text. It's all a later Takana, but the Ruach HaKodesh Shabo was not really the earlier source. That's what Tosus wants to explain it. Others explain the Ritva has an explanation over here, which according to Shmuel, he is holding like other Tanaim. The Ritva just says that Rabbi Yeshua learned in the Braisa we're going to see, that we saw above, that the Megillah is not part of the Chaftal Tzifrei Tanakh. So therefore, that Mishnah follows other Tanaim, Rabbi Lezer Modi and others, and Shmuel has the right to pick to Paskin like a different Tana, so it's not a Kasha on Shmuel. Either way, so that would be the explanation for what's going on over here. Now the Gemara has a Kasha though, on Shmuel though. Meisi Vei, we have a Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Koheles, Inu Matamase, Adayim, Machlokas, Bershir Hashim. There's a Machlokas about Koheles, we're going to see why this is. Koheles and Shir Hashirim, the Sfarim of Shlomo HaMelech. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Shir Hashirim, Matamase, Adayim, Machlokas, Bekoheles. No, that Shir Hashirim is part of the Chavdal Tanakh, so therefore it's going to Matamase, Adayim, and machlokas b'koheles, koheles is going to be machlokas. Rabbi Shimon Omer koheles makula beit shammai mechumra b'silal, that actually koheles is one of the kulas of beit shammai. They hold it's not metami adayim, whereas b'silal hold that it is metami adayim. One of the leniencies of beit shammai, whereas b'silal would be machmir in it. Of a rus v'shirashim v'ester metami adayim. In this mishnah, nobody, we have rus shirashim and Esther. They would make one's hands tame. So this implies that the Esther does not make one's hands tame, and therefore contradicts Shmuel, because nobody says that Esther is not metame the diamond. The Gemara says, no, who demar kishua? We saw that Shmuel, before, we had the opinion of Rabbi Shua that learned out that there is no source to include Megillas Esther, because the three the Shlosha Dvarim that were mentioned in regards to Mechias Amalek was only going to be mentioned in this, one in Sefer Shmos, one in Dvarim, and one in Shmuel. So we have no source available to explain that Esther should be in the Chavdal Sefer Tanach. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and that's who Shmuel is holding, like there's no kasha from this Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Asi Omer Koheles in Matamis Adayim. Why is it that Koheles is not Matamis Adayim? Because Meshach Chachmas El Shlomo Hi, because it was only the wisdom of Shlomo, was not Ruach HaKodesh. It was just his great Chachma, and therefore not Ruach HaKodesh, so therefore it's not going to be Matame Adayim, not part of the Chavdal Tzifrei Tanach. So the Rabbanan responds to Shimon ben Asi, Bechizel Bilvad Amar, is that really true? That Shmuel only picked these things of his Chachma to mention in Koheles? That has been said about King Shlomo that there were 3,000 different mashalim, different things, different deep ideas that Shlomo had mentioned, and yet only some of them are going to be mentioned in the Sefer of Koheles. So clearly, he was the Chora. The reason that he picked what to be said in Koheles was because of the fact that it was written with this Ruach HaKodesh, which is divine spirit and Nevuah. So Gemara says, "Omer al Tosif advarav." And not only that, the pasuk says, in Mishlei, that Shlomo says that you should not be adding anything to his works because they're specifically written Biruach HaKodesh. Now the Gemara asks, why do you need two different proofs? My Omer, why do you need a second proof to teach you? You wouldn't have learned it already from the first that he has so many other things to mention. The Gemara says, no, v'chitim, mimar tuvamar. Shmuel did have many other deep ideas and many deep, different things that he spoke about. Dibay echtiv, which he wished to include in Sefer Koheles. Dibay lo echtiv, but he just chose which ones he liked better, but not necessarily based on Ruach HaKodesh. The Sashma al Tosif Adavarav, you should not add to his words specifically because these are written with something, chashivas to them, that they were written, Dahainu, they were written Beruach HaKodesh. Now the Gemara continues, Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh, Shenemar, Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman said in his heart, this is a reference to the time where Haman came in, and the king, Achashverosh asked him, wait, what should he do for a Melech HaChavetz Bikaro, someone who the king loves a lot? And Haman thought in his head, ooh, who does this king think more than me? And he said all these amazing things, and then he says, great, do this to Mordechai. How do we know what Haman thought in his heart? Must be that it was written Beruach HaKodesh, must be written with Nevuah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Esther Beruach HaKodesh, number another Raya, Vati Esther, Shnemar Vati Esther, Noses Chayim Mechult, and Ro'eah. She found favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her. How in the world do we know that every single person who saw Esther saw favor in her? Another Rayash. This is reference to big son Viseresh, who are trying to kill the king. And it became known to Mordechai. How did Mordechai know? It must be through Rech Kodesh that he knew about it. Because it says, Nemar, Uvaviza Loshachos Yadam, in reference to the war, that none of the Jews took the spoils. They didn't take the spoils of the war. Even the ones very far away, how in the world do they know there was 127 provinces, right? So how in the world do we know that the ones so far away in the middle of nowhere were the ones who didn't take any of the spoils? It must be that we knew Rech HaKodesh. Now the Gemara another brings another proof. Amar Shmuel, Yihavi Hasam Avamina Milsa Da'adif Makulo. If I was with those Tanayim, I would have brought a better proof. Shinemar Kimu V'Kiblu. It says Kimu V'Kiblu. What is this Kimu V'Kiblu? Why is it Lashon of Kimu V'Kiblu? Kimu L'Mala Mashikiblu Mata. That they, just like the Jews below, undertook themselves to keep the Purim, so too they accepted it upon in Shemayim also. And therefore, the Megillah and the concept of Megillah is accepted in Shemayim as well as below, and that's the great proof that it's clearly something very special. And through also Rech HaKodesh. Gemara says, "Amar Rava Lakulo Isla Pircha." All the proofs of Akasha Levar B'Shmuel Tlaisa Pircha. Shmuel is actually the only one who doesn't have any problem with his pshat. Why? Rabbi Lezer Svarhi. Rabbi Lezer, you could just say that it's just a matter of logic. It's not necessarily written with the Ruach HaKodesh. Dilohavi Inish Tichashu the Malka Kavase. But there was no person. Who did the Haman always think was the greatest? So it makes sense. That's how Haman said himself, that he thought that this was always going to be for him. Because he thought nobody else was as great as him. He was so arrogant. Everybody who spoke to him knew that he was so arrogant that he was thinking it was for himself. That he said, the fact that he said all these extravagant things, wear the king's clothing, put him on the horse, and have the king's servants speak of all those things clearly had come straight from the Haman's mind. Rabbi Akiva announced to Rabbi Akiva that Esther was Yotzechem Mechol Raya, that everyone who saw her knows Yotzechem Mechol Raya. That pasuk is also not a raya because maybe that's also Dilma Kerabelezer. De'amar Milamet Shikolecha Vecha Nidmasa Lukumasa. Maybe it's like Rabbi Lezer that says that everyone is proud of the people from their same faith, right? So all the Jews would say, she's from us, she's a Jew, she's a Yid. It's so nice, it's so impressive. You know, we have this when a Jew rises to fame in America, Abdul. But hopefully for the good also. The guy's a firm guy, like David Friedman. That was people are very proud of him. That's a Mamash Kiddush Hashem, right? He wore a kippah, he's a firm guy. And he was the ambassador to Israel. That was a very big thing. He was very prominent. He was very close to the president. Jared Kushner, you know, also. And he tried to keep Shabbos, but again, those are things that people feel proud of, hopefully, sometimes not. If they're politics, sometimes it's separate people, okay, not for now. But Be'etzem, different things, maybe not politics, bad example. But Be'etzem, we usually, for the sports, the guy who just got drafted, that people are proud of, a keep a wearing person. They say, that's us, someone who grew up, you know, is a firm guy, Shomer Shabbos, and he rises to fame. So this also. So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, and that with which Rabbi Meir, is also Nazirai Delma Karabi Chia Baraba Damar Big Sam Viserah Shnei Tarsiyah Mayu. That how did Mordechai know? Because they're from Tarsiyah, they thought nobody spoke their language. Nobody in the world ever spoke that language, so they were speaking it, and they assumed nobody holds. Definitely not this from Jew, look like the old from guy, this Jewish guy over there. He definitely didn't know what language they were speaking. But Mordechai was part of the Sanhedrin. He knew how to know Shivim Lashonos. So that's how he's able to understand what they said. Now the Gemara says, Yosi Bar Jumisnas, and the proof that Rav Yosi Bar Dingler says that they didn't have Bashal Lushal Chus Yadam. They didn't put their hands on any of the spoils of the war. That's also not a raya. Dilma pricks each other. Maybe there was messengers who sent them that said that the Jews didn't take spoils anywhere, and that's why they wrote it down. Now the Gemara says, "Shmuel vaday leis lepilcher." However, Shmuel has no flaw. Everything is good with him. I'm Ravina. Hainu damrei inshes because there's no kimlo v'kiblu. Kiblu l'malam asher kiblu mata is clear that Esther b'zruach hakodesh and that everything that we're doing is accepted above. And the Gemara says this is like a phrase that people say, "Tavachad lepilcher charifta memela itzane karei." That it's better to have one sharp pepper than it is to have a basket full of melons. So I understood this to mean that I didn't see him say this, but I saw the Rishonim explain it. I'll first go to the Rishonim, then my way. That the Rishonim explain it. It just means that a pepper is much smaller, yet it's sharper. So similarly, Shmuel is only on a mora. Was in this case, was sharper than all the Tanaim. I just thought it meant that we quoted all this Tanaim in a grouping together, and this whole grouping of Tanaim were wrong. And that's as opposed to a small pepper, which is nothing about the later generations. Just simply, this is one person versus the whatever four or five we mentioned before. This Tanaim that they have a bunch of melons together is not as strong. Sometimes there's just one good answer as opposed to four answers that necessarily aren't as strong. Now the word is Rav Yosef Amar Mahach Avimei Purim Ma'ila Lo Yavru Mitoich Yehudim. That these days a Purim should not be never going to fail from the Jews. What does it mean Lo Yavru? That the Jews are always going to keep Purim forever. And that's a masorah that we have, that there's going to be Abraham. How do they know this? It must be. Ruach HaKodesh is telling us that it's in the pasuk in Megillah, in Megillah Esther. They're telling us that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is never going to have, that we're always going to be able to keep Purim. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar B'Hacha, V'zicham LeYosef Mizaram. And also the remembrance we'll never see for the descendants. We're always going to remember this miracle for every single year. And Matanas Avyonim, now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. Mishnah told us that you have to give a gift to the poor. The next part is pretty famous. Son of Yosef, what's the getter? Mishlach Manos Israel, that you're sending portions one to another. We learn that, what does it mean? Manos in the plural means shtei manos l'ishachad, two portions to one person. That portions, it must be in a different, it's a different type. That's one of the things that I think is a myth, that we don't really have a source for, that it has to be two different brachas. That doesn't seem to be anywhere brought down, but two different foods to a person could be the same bracha l'chora, and it should be fine. And that is the basic mitzvah. The Rambam writes, so a person who does that raises a mashubach to give more matana, mishlach manos. And people often do that. We do a big hiddur. Matanos have yonim, and she give more gifts, gift to the poor people. What is that? Shtei matanos shnei b'dam. There must be a minimum of two gifts to two different people. Many explain also that it has to be a minimum amount to be able to for him to have his suda. So if that's the case, nowadays it must be more than just like a dollar. A dollar is not going to be able to buy you anything. You have to give at least $5 a chor, should be a minimum, at least. You should be able to have a perm suda. So that's something which, also it's important to mention the Rambam. I always quote this to my family before the time. It's that Rambam writes that it's more chashiv to give, that the Rambam writes it's more chashiv, should record inside. That it's more chashiv, his lashon is very beautiful. That it's more chashiv to give the matanos savyonim than it is to give mishloach manos. Because matanos savyonim, you're bringing up l'hayachas rosh shvalim, remember you bring up leiv nitzkaim, you're acting in the way of Hashem. You're compared to Hashem that is giving to poor people. So, you know, that certain rabbanim recommend that you exchange your breakfast. We're going to see to be machlif your breakfast with your friend. Give it to him the breakfast. Your yosef mishloach manos, and give everything to matanos avyonim. Is giving a point that the ikur is more to give matanos avyonim. So it's very beautiful. People go all these very elegant mishloach manos. So that's very fine. That's a hijra we saw in the Rambam also. But make sure whatever you're doing, I always say, make sure whatever amount you're spending on the mishloach manos, you should be spending significantly more on the matanos avyonim. That's a very important point. I think people get lost a little bit sometimes in the mishloach manos. They go all out, but that's very nice. Go all out, but also go all out on the matanos avyonim. Give more than whatever you're giving for mishloach manos. Now, the Gemara continues. Rav Yehuda Nasai Shadalei Rav Yosha. Rav Yehuda Nasai sent Rav Yosha. Atame de ilga tiltla. A thigh of a calf to a third to its mother. Therefore, we think we assume that's a very chashiv. Vegar v'decharman a bottle of wine. Shalach Rav Yosha sent back to him. Turning on to the next number now. Kayamas Baner Rabbeinu. You've given us. You fulfilled the mitzvah. Mishloach manos Israel. This is a shaila over here. What does the matanos avyonim have to do with this? Grah takes it out, and he says that Rashi l'chor didn't have decided. There's nothing to do with matanos avyonim. L'chor has to do with this. L'chor has to do with shmilch manos. Others quote the Rabbi Chanan on the Ritva. They have a different reading of our Gemara based on the Yerushalmi. That he sent him one thigh and one bottle of wine. Rabbi Yosha said that you should send me something. This is something you give to the poor. You should give me something more chashuv than this. So therefore, he said, so he gave him more chashuv portion of a more chashuv meat. So the Chayadim actually quotes Yerushalmi Halacha, and he says that it should depend on the person that you're giving the mishloach manos to. It should depend on his stature. If it's a chashuv person, you should give him more chashuv food. So you're bringing something to your rav. Make sure to give him something very very chashuv, to give him something very nice in giving him the mishloach manos. Okay, very interesting. Now the market is Rabba Shadalei Lamari Bar Arbaya Malay Taska the Shabbos. It's in a basket full of dates. And Malay Kisa the Kimcha the Ushna, also a cup full of flour of roasted wheat. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said back to Rabba, Hashta Amar Mari, people are going to say about you, Icha Klaya Malka Lehave. If a poor person becomes a king, Dikula Mitzavare Lo Naches, he doesn't take the basket which he used to feed his animals off his neck. Meaning that the person who grew up poor, a lot of times, he never changes his nature. So by telling Rabbi that you became royal, and you're a royal people do so now, and you're sending the thing that you give Mari was just a regular thing that you would have sent them even when you were poor. You know, a lot of people like this, that they live so very modestly, even after they become very wealthy. It's a good thing a lot of times. Here, he was telling him she give a nicer thing. Hadar Shadr Lehu'iyu, so Mari said back to Rabbi, Malay Taxka de Zingvila, you give him a basket full of ginger. Malay Kas de Pilpala Riva, and a cup full of palm peppers. And by Hashta Marmar, people are going to say about Rabbi, Anna Shadr Lehu'iyu, I send sweet ones with you, Shadr Lehu'iyu, and he sent me back bitter ones. Okay, interesting response there. Amar Abayim, Kinafti Mibayim Mar, Havei Savinu. When I left Rabba's house, I was very full. Kimaitla Hassan, when I arrived when I left Rabba and I went to Mari, I arrived there, covered the sheet inside the sheet in Mine Kadera. They gave me 60 plates and 60 types of food, very delicious foods. V'achle be'shita pulka, and I ate 60 pieces, one of each of them. V'shule b'charita, the last dish they gave me, Havu Karule Tzikeda, they called pot roast. Ubay lemechas tzaya basra, and after eating it, I wanted to eat the plate. That's how hungry I was. I still wanted to eat it. I'm Rabbi, and I thought I was full when I came there. So I'm interested. This is what people say. Kafkin alayev lo yada. Poor person doesn't know when he's hungry. He doesn't know what he's missing out on. Yami or Rav Chalav v'visim mashkeach. Famous phrase that we see nowadays. There's always room for dessert. Now, how full you are, there's always room for dessert. So too, Oviam, when I came full, there was always room for dessert. I had plenty of room to eat. Just to point out, this is one of the examples where what in the world is more? He ate 60 different things. Look, Sam Sofer has a whole beautiful explanation explaining this. None of this is to be taken literally. This is all a reference to very deep ideas that the Baye was learning. He was full of Torah, and he learned 60 different masechtas, learning so deep. And then when he was learning with Mari, he was learning all the different masechtas with him as well. And then when they were got up to Tzli Keder, that's Arvus Tepsachim, because there were 30 days, Shloshim Yom, Tocha Pesach, and he was saying, I wasn't full, I wanted to eat more, I wanted to eat the table, I wanted to have more Torah and more depth that I was able, to learn from Mari. Okay, very interesting. Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. Abaye Rav Yehuda Chanina, Mechalpei Sudas Alei Dadei. They exchanged their Purim Sudas with one another. This was our reference before, that one provided the meal one year for the next, that's how Rashi explains it. Others, we see from here, someone on explain that it's better to have your Purim Suda with your friend. You should, one would make the Suda and they would go to the other one. We see that the Marva Suda is mitzvah, probably part of the Kiyum of Persum and Nisa. To have it with multiple people, not just by yourself. To have a nice big Purim Suda is a very nice Inyan. And others explain that, the Ran explains over here, that the Ran quotes that the thing is called Allah also. That's what I was talking about before, about exchanging your thing. They said that none of them had enough money to do both Mishlach Manos and Manos Avionos. So they, in order to Mekai Mishlach Manos, they just gave, they made themselves breakfast. So I give you my breakfast, you give me your breakfast, and that's how they were Yosei Mishlach Manos. So you see, again, this concept does come up. Maybe not necessary to do this, but just to emphasize the point that you can mekayim mitzvah of when you're stuck, mishlach manos in this form also. Amar Rava, this is a pretty famous gemara over here. Rava tells us mekayim inishlav assuming b'puriyaya. One is obligated to become drunk on Purim. Rashi says l'ishtaker, to become drunk on Purim. Some want to say it uses the daf kolashon of l'vesume, not to mean drunk. But Rashi says over here explicitly it means drunk. Either way, some mean it means drinking but being more jolly. Adol yadav in araham and baruch arachai. Famous song, Adal Yadav, right? You know the difference between that Haman is cursed and Mordechai is blessed. So that is a very, very strong level of that's like something like Shechus Shalot. Like that's mamish. You don't know the difference between Arham and Mordechai. So many explanations are given. Toz already started off by telling us that the Kodi Yerushalmi, Arzar Shabruch Esther, Mkol Hashem, Bruch Meghudim. Maybe it's this long piyut that they used to say. So that whole thing you're not able to know. So it doesn't mean that literally the difference between Arham and Mordechai, but you get stuck in the piyut. You don't know how to explain the back and forth of the of that poem that they used to say. That's what that level of drunkenness. Others explain that the Baruch Araham and Baruch Mordechai, I think, are the gematria are the same, except they're off by one. But that you wouldn't be able to calculate the gematria again, limiting how drunk one's supposed to get. There's another explanation that Rambam learns is that a person is supposed to drink so much that he should basically pass out from his drunkenness, and then he won't know the difference between Araham and Baruch Mordechai. So the Rama takes that Rambam, but it's interesting. The Rama puts his spin on it. The Rama just says you should drink more than you normally do, take a nap. And you're kind of that when you're taking a nap, not the difference between Araham and Morachar. That is what the Rambam writes, but not in the same way. The Rambam's lashon was that you drink so much and then kilu, like you almost pass out from your drunkenness, and that makes you not as much as Ramah, tones it down a lot. So that's why it leads to a lot of different opinions. There are Shulchan Aruch Pashas is going to paskin like this Pashup Shad of the Gemara. So Sfardim, that's the Ramah, says that you drink more than usual and you go to sleep and you're, I'd say you fulfill it. Many, the Mishnah Berurah says, Kach Rai Linug. I'm pretty sure the Mishnah Berurah says the Lashon. Again, there are those who do like the Rambam, there are those who do like Shulchan Aruch. As long as the Ramayan even himself ends off, Echad Amar Bev, Echad Amamid, I'm pretty sure the Ramayan himself says this, Ulivat Sheikhavin and Lua Shemayim. Make sure that's L'Shem Shemayim, not just because the person wants to drink more, but because Betsim, he feels like that's what's necessary for him to fulfill the mitzvah of the day. Okay, so that's going to continue the story. Now, Rabba and Rabbi Zira, Avdu Sudas Perm Behadeh Adadeh. Rabba and Rabbi Zira had a Perm meal together. Ibasu, when they both became drunk, Kam Rabbi Shachtel Rabbi Zira. Rabbi came and he, that would have been Shachtel over here. He literally shachted him, he shachted his neck, he was dead. The next day, he was like basically dead. Rabbi died on for him and he revived him. So then he invited him again. You want to come back? That was a great suda. That was so fun. No, come back again. She said, no, but thanks, but no thanks. You know? So not every time is a miracle going to happen. And therefore, we see that something, I'm afraid that the miracle is going to happen and I don't want to come back. So we see a few things from the story. L'chora, the story may be a raya that a person is not supposed to get totally drunk. That's what the Baal Ma'or quotes from the Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Ran quotes this is a famous shita quote in Rishonim. We don't pass like Rabbeinu Ephraim. It's important to note this. But Ba'atzim, the Rabbeinu Ephraim is a shita out there that says we reject this from the story, proving there's a proof that we reject it. One of the rayas that we don't drink is the gersa that we have is Rava is telling us this statement, they are chayev. Rabbah is a generation later than Rabbah and Rabbi Zera. So if he's telling us a statement that's still Yerchayev after knowing the story, clearly we see that the story is not necessarily a rejection of what happened. Also, what is this thing that he shechted him? He literally shechted him, he took a shechita knife and shechted his neck off. What happened over here? So the Meiri has a very interesting lesson. He says that the shechita lesson with a sin, a sachte, is like, he gave him like a bear hug. He squeezed him so hard, he passed out from it. Or other things that he hurt him and he became deathly ill because of getting drunk so much. Either way, that's the story here. Fascinating Gemara. There's a lot more to give. You give an hour and a half shir based on just this concept of the shir and halacha lemaisa, but we have to move on. The verse says, "Amar Rava, Sudas Purim Shalcha Belayla." The person who eats his Purim feast at nighttime, lo yatzei nechavas, you're not yotei. My time of what is the reason you're not yotei? Because you may miss Shavu Simcha Ksiv, because it says that it should be days of feasting and gladness and not at the nighttime. Ravashi of Yosef Kameh Derev Kahana. Ravashi was sitting before Rav Kahana on Purim. Nagav Los Rabbanan. It was night, like a arriving nighttime, and nobody came. And because the Chor, everyone was eating their sudos. But Purim time in the afternoon, late afternoon. I'm like, my time of Los Rabbanan. I said, why did no one come yet? Dilma treated with sudos. Purim, maybe. So Rav Kahana responded, what do you mean? They're still eating their suda. Amar Lei, so he said, why don't they just eat the night before? Why don't they just eat the night before? Amar Lei, Rav Kahana answered, Lo Shmelei, hi to my Rava. Didn't you learn what Rava said? Suda's Purim Shachah Balayla. A Purim suda that a person eats at nighttime. Lo Yatzadeh Chavasa. You're not fulfilling an obligation. Amar Lei, Amar Rava, Hachi. So did Rava really say that? He's going to pronounce it, but it makes sense to him. Amar Lei in. And he said, yes. Tana Mine Arba and Zimna. So when Rashi learned Salachi, he learned it 40 different times. See how much you have to chazer. He don't remember things. Remember, he didn't learn it 40 times. Learned it 40, 50 times over. Ravad used to get upset when people say that he had a photograph of memory. He said, I chazered this toys 100 times. It was very secure, within him, and he remembered it. Literally put it in like his purse and put it in his pocket. He knew it really well after he learned it 40 times. Now the Gemara's we just mentioned Ein Bein Adarishin Adarshini. So based on that, we're going to come on to a Gereshin now, basically for 10 Da'apim. We're going to discuss other Inyanim. The main point is not going to be Hilchos Begila at all. It's going to be different subjects of the Ein Bein, which will lead to different Gemaras now. Ein Bein Shabbos Yontov. When we mentioned Ein Bein Adarishin Adarshini, now we're mentioning there's no difference in Shabbos Yontov El Ochel Nevesh Bilvad, except for preparing food. Whatever types are Asra on Shabbos, Malachas are Asra on Shabbos, are also Yantav Yantav. Now we're obviously not mentioning the punishments. Rashi already pointed out. The punishments is Isser Dereisa, Isser Misa, both Isser Dereisa, but Isser Misa, be they Adam if a person violates Shabbos, as opposed to violating Yantav, you're only alive. You've got Chayv Malchus. So we're talking about over here the actual etzim, what's mutter is the lav with regard to what's mutter is the food preparation. Gemara says halin machshir el chanefesh with regards to preparing machshir. Machshir is like let's say sharpening the knife. Rashi gives an example is using that as sharpening a knife, which is as a machshir. It's only preparation of preparing food. Zev zeh shavin, both Shabbos and Yantav are equal, that they're both going to be usher. So Gemara points out masis in the Rabbi Yehuda that our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Yehuda. The standard we learn in Braisa ein bein Shabbos liyomtov ein bein yomtov leShabbos el ochal nefesh. And except for food preparation, however, the Braisa adds in Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshir el nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda is matir even the preliminary preparation, meaning that you can even sharpen your knife for the preparation of food. My time at the Tanakama. What's the reason for the Tanakama? And where it says because Amar Kra hu v'lo machshirav. It says this should be prepared. Hu levada yasa lachem. Only this, but not as preliminary. It's not something before that stage. Rabbi Yehuda, he learns that lachem lechol chatzichem. That which you need is for everything that you need. So Gemara now answers v'idach nami haksev lachem. Doesn't it mean for you, which implies like Rabbi Yehuda said, it should be everything that you need. So why don't they do it like Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers lachem. It means for you and not for Ovdei Chachavim. That's why it's an iser to invite a non-Jew, and not for not to discuss at length, but not to invite a non-Jew for a Yontav Suda is a big issue because you're not allowed to prepare food for him. And we have a gzera that maybe you'll come to prepare food for them. It's us for them to come. Lachev lo klavim, and for you, not for your animals either. You're not allowed to cook for them either. And being potentially, it's probably an issur ha'isa to do that. Ve'idach nami, because you're doing a malacha, nyantav, not for the tzorach when it's mutter. Ve'idach nami, according to Yehuda, also, what do we learn from the Tanakama? Haksiv hu, it says hu, that this should be done and not anything else. Ksiv hu, and it says lachem. So what do we learn out? We learn out, kam machshirin she'eshalasan mirav yantav, that, which is a preliminary, is a covenant done before yantav. Kam machshirin she'eshalasan mirav yantav. So really, nafkamina is only where, let's say, your knife broke, it became not sharpened, it chipped off on Yontav itself, Rashi gives an example, then I would allow it to be masakin according to Yehuda. But if it comes to Erev Yontav, I just was lazy and I didn't do it, then I'm not allowed to do it on Yontav itself. And the Tosfos point out, or we can make the same chiluk by Ochel Nefesh as well, that also you should, they agree to Rabbi Yehuda's Drasha, and that's the Chorah we paskin also. They're not allowed to do for food preparation on Yontav, only if it's going to be more fresh and better to do it on Yontav itself. But something is equally as good the day before as after, you make a dip, let's say, it's exact same taste. If you made it the day before, as opposed to most things you make fresh are better, like a challah or something like that, is taka better. Fresh, whatever, pasta, whatever it is, always tastes fresher. But something that's exactly the same quality, Tosfos point out, you would have a chiyuv to do it before Yontif. We'll just read the next Mishnah, we'll pick up from the next Mishnah of Ezra Shem tomorrow. Ein bein Shabbos liyom ha-kippurim. There's no face of Shabbos in Kippur. Elisha says, do not be the Adam, that violating Shabbos is going to be chayav misa bidei adam. V'zeinu b'karis, and the fact that Yom Kippur, you're alive v'edash, a punishment of death, a karis, which is only from Hashem, really. Hashem is going to give you premature death. That is based on Sukkim that we see the karis. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Halim Tashlumin in tomorrow's daf.